couple of things that have popped out during your pre-confirmation, some of the speeches we've heard or some of your background is a lot about innovation, and your role as CTO is really about innovation. But let's talk a little bit about what really your vision for that innovation is. I mean, beyond focused on presidential priorities, we get that. But what is, what's your approach, what's your philosophy, if you will?
Innovation is the marriage of ideas and relevance. And you need balance between the two. Relevance is defined by the outcomes goals that our agencies wish to accomplish, or in my case, the president's outcomes goals. So we have clarity around relevance, or we're in the process of working to get that kind of clarity as agencies rethink their approach to outcomes-based management. Ideas are really a fountain of opportunity that can be technology-based or non-technology-based. And it's the culture that welcomes new ideas prohibits them from seeing the light of day. Having an organization, a CTO, that is essentially a safe place where ideas can match up with relevance is the challenge at hand. I am looking to best practices from the private sector and public sector on how best to incorporate new ideas. There are models. IBM has the Emerging Businesses Opportunity Group. British Petroleum has a chief technology officer that's governing a very strong innovation pipeline. There is a book by James Andrew called Payback, which basically speaks to how private corporations harness the power and potential of innovation to achieve their goals. I believe Boston Consulting Group, where Jim works, has noted that two-thirds of all CEOs rank innovation amongst their top three priorities, but only half of those CEOs are satisfied with their current return on innovation investment. This is not a challenge just in the public sector. This is a broader challenge. And I think by harnessing best practices, we will find ways to build a culture that welcomes the introduction of ideas and their alignment to relevance, and together that will bring about innovation.
You mentioned performance outcomes. Doesn't in some ways innovation, performance outcomes, there's a little bit of a dichotomy there, because you want to get to a point, and usually you get to a point, you think about it in very linear way, A, B, C. But what you're asking is for, we want to get to that point, but maybe it's A, D, Z. Is that a good characterization?
Well, I actually think the outcome makes it more liberating. You know, the traditional outcome goal leads to detailed requirements, which is the opposite of innovation. That is, we want, and there's a good reason for it, we want a consistent, reliable, working solution to a known problem. If I want to buy paper clips, I don't need to develop an outcome measure for thinking about what we need in terms of a device that has the ability of connecting two pieces of paper in a manner that is cheap. It's a paper clip. And so in the paperclip environment, we want a simple procurement where we get best price. If I have a bolder challenge, can I convert a high school dropout to a technology industry worker that's productive in 6 months? That is an outcomes goal. And there is no off-the-shelf paperclip analogy that will produce that outcome. So in Virginia, for example, we had a productivity investment fund, which the governor reserved about $3 million in the budget, precisely because he wanted some safe area for ideas to meet relevance. And in that example of the high school dropout to tech worker, in 6 months we went from concept to a working prototype that now has a class of about 20 students that will graduate this July. And in order to produce, you said A, Z, B, A, they took a little bit of adult GED, a little bit of Microsoft Academy, a little bit of contextual projects, which is build a piece of software or what have you, and they mashed them up to form a new curriculum that will do in 6 months what otherwise could have been done in 2 years. And the process was so effective, we have technology companies in Southwest Virginia saying, we will guarantee job interviews to every graduate because we believe this prototype has value. So that's an example of an outcome goal that doesn't necessarily have attached to it a commodity product or solution that would allow for this kind of mashup philosophy.
One of the things that I think there's some concern among agencies, among CIOs that I've talked to, is this innovation idea and how it meets the IT or affects IT in a very broad way. How do you see that working?
This is the billion-dollar question. is this the job of the CIO, or is this the job of a new role within the agency who's tasked with achieving the performance mission of the agency? I don't have a clear answer to the question, but I can assure you that the DNA of a person who wakes up in the morning and goes to bed at night managing the cost side of the equation is a completely different DNA than the person who wakes up in the morning and says, essentially, what new products and services can I bring to bear for the provisioning of the advancement of a policy objective as stated by our administrator? Those may not be, they may be the same person. In some organizations they are, but in many cases they're different job attributes. So in some agencies, they're going to be those that will hybrid both attributes. In some agencies, they'll have a dedicated person for one versus the other. And I don't think we need to be prescriptive about it, but clearly we have to articulate what's the DNA of the person capable of driving innovation in the agency, and let's keep an open mind about whether that person comes from the business operation side, the IT side, frankly, even the finance side. It could be any one of those views, and if you look at the private sector, this is why new product development is often run outside of the CIO shop. In a sense, this is a policy equivalent of new product development.
Do you foresee kind of a reinvigoration of the CTO role in agencies because of your position and because of the innovation and the energy you're bringing around this idea of thinking about things maybe in a little bit of a different way?
Well, this is a cart before the horse issue. I don't want the government to go running around adding bureaucracy just because it's the flavor of the month. What we need to do is have a thoughtful process of identifying what it is that we're trying to accomplish. What resources do we already have? What can we redeploy? And then what new has to be introduced in order to achieve that goal? In some agencies, they will very clearly want to bring on board this type of capacity. In fact, we've already seen it. Alec Ross, as the Secretary of State's Chief Innovation Officer, effectively, is the addition of a new voice. And his focus is on mission and goal, not necessarily provisioning of the IT. So the CIO can play several roles. They can be the facilitator or enabler of some of this, which is to say, in order to assemble the products necessary to achieve a goal, we need the safe, secure access to some Web 2.0 capability. The CIO's job is to make sure that that's compliant with FSMA, that it meets all our standards, that it's in fact done the right way with protections for patient citizen privacy. So there's a role for the CIO in any scenario, either as the author of such innovation or as the provisioner of such innovation on the back end. And so we're going to see different flavors as we go.
That actually leads nicely into my next question, which talks about how will what you're doing, the innovation philosophy approach, really affect agency CIOs, impact their mission. So we're talking about the next level down because, a lot of times CIOs have been, and they've said, we just have to get the work done. We really have to focus on using technology to meet mission. And the innovation piece sometimes is a secondary priority.
It's an interesting question. We spoke this morning about the fact that a lot of the outcomes goals of government are actually delivered by state and local. I envision a scenario where some of our innovations are actually implemented by state and local, and they may not even touch the CIO. I see other examples where the CIO would be integral. I think the question is a false one, which is, does everything innovation related have to impact the agenda for the CIO? No. The administrators are usually pretty smart about what are their goals, projects, outcomes, and then how are they going to staff up for it. And in some cases, they'll choose to assign the CIO a role. In other cases, they might say, it's not on your list. I'm agnostic as to who actually drives the change. I just want to deliver the results. So I think in many cases, I hope we'll have CIOs who will volunteer a leadership opportunity, and in other cases, we'll bring new resources who think they can help. But ultimately, that's a decision for the agency head and not really for me to micromanage.
You had a great example during your speech today about signing up for Medicare or Medicaid. And that may be a great example of innovative process change that really will happen not at the federal level, but at the state level. And the federal level will be basically, here's the new requirements, and here's where you get your data from. I mean, is that part of the vision you just talked about?
Yeah. Again, if we take a look at the operational performance of government, and it doesn't get as much attention as policy transparency. And in fact, if I could lift up for a minute, I see transparency in many flavors. I see there's a component of transparency that speaks to the policymaking process. As we completed our brainstorming session, by the way, you'll see a blog posting shortly from my office around the big themes that emerged from that brainstorming, but a component of it was really around transparency for the purposes of informing policymaking. But there was also some interest in the document, in the material that we received from the public, which said, hey, what about transparency on benefits performance? You know, it's a perennial problem that the VA can't get claims out for veterans' disability benefits. I mean, it's still in the 200-plus days range. General Shinseki has said this is going to be a top priority. Well, innovation might help find ways to collapse that time. If you break it down, I'll give you an example. The Social Security Administration's Disability Benefits Engine, in December, prototyped an electronic health record solution that, with 40 seconds, could run through an adjudication engine and tell you, yay or nay, are you in fact disabled? That, obviously, is not for every person applying for disability, but for a portion of their requests. That's literally real-time turnaround. Compare that with 200-plus days in the VA for disability determination. Now, I understand there's some details and why that's, you know, a lot more complicated, but at the end of the day, there's clinical information that sits in healthcare that needs to make its way through a rules engine that needs to be evaluated either by a software package or eventually by an individual, and that ultimately leads to some determination. You could break it down and say, where can I bring innovation to this problem? And in the case of Social Security, for a marginal investment, they basically said, let's make easier the request. They are the largest requester of electronic of medical records in the country. So they said, if we can electronically provision the records, that solves a lot of the time. So I think, in a long roundabout way, we're going to see some leadership in Washington, but frankly, some ingenuity and creativity from the ground who says, hey, look, we think we can do it better, faster, cheaper. If you benchmarked the states today on average time to complete a Medicaid application, A, I've never seen that data. So is that transparent? Why don't you ask HHS for that, by the way? People would voluntarily present it. You'll find some variation. Some states can do it quicker. Others don't. And it'd be interesting to learn from why those folks can do it quicker, how that might apply in other states. And that's the kind of culture shift we want to focus on. And I think this administration's committed to, because at the end of the day, it's about results, making government work in a way that actually makes the people's lives better.
And that actually tags back nicely, because both the SSA example, which is, I think, their electronic health records exchange with MedVirginia, is what you're referring to.
Ooh, you're so smooth. All right. Well done. Amen.
Well, I just happen to have one of those stories I covered. And then your other example, your idea of bringing innovation, best practices that exist, and say, okay, how does state one do it,
yep,
and how can we take their approach and model it or replicate it across other states?
Absolutely. And frankly, there's a technical way of sharing, and then there's also a communication way of sharing. Ultimately, I don't know when this will happen, but ultimately, we would love to have the equivalent of the App Store, where we have I'm making it up here, but let's presume an App Store for Medicaid enrollment. And thousands of entrepreneurs will come up with innovative ways to build on that App Store to say, hey, look, problem number one is determining income for the person. We've got a creative way of bringing new information to the table. We can provide for you real-time income validation. Maybe the IRS provides real-time access to tax records if the person applying requests it. And okay, fine. So real-time information income verification. That may be an app someone builds on the App Store, and you can download in Maryland and Virginia and marginally improve it to meet your own needs. The marginal cost of that adoption should be low. We don't want this to be one vendor rules them all, so this is not a national, but you want to have thousands of entrepreneurs capable of bidding on this kind of work that may be more modest in scope but can solve specific and discrete problems. And over time, imagine if we had 1,000 apps all speaking to this issue. How do we handle bilingual needs? Okay, here's an app for that. Or how do we handle not just income verification but, frankly, the immigration issue? Okay, here's an app for that. So we'll get there, but this is still vision at this time.
You laid out four priorities. Can you go through maybe briefly what those four are And maybe what are some of your goals in the first year, in the first 18 months? I know that some things are still in draft, so what can you tell us about what your plans are?
Well, thank you. 1 week on the job, I look forward to sharing with you the final answer. In all seriousness, I'm in listening mode. I'm visiting with my colleagues. I am looking to see how I can be helpful in advancing the president's agenda. I'm working through a plan that I will make public when it's been approved by all stakeholders. Having said that, there are four key pillars that I want to focus on, as the president requested. First and foremost is to make sure that we transform our nation's economy through technology-based innovation. Second, that we pick a few of the president's key priorities that we can address through innovation platforms, in a sense this concept of an app store. And focus I have there on health IT, smart grid, education technology, job creation, or economic development. Third is the focus on delivering a reliable, resilient, trustworthy digital infrastructure. That is both a broadband plan, which the president has called for through the ARRA by February under the leadership of the FCC. I'll play a very active role. And then second, in the president's remarks on Friday, focusing on cybersecurity with particular emphasis on game-changing R&D and on engaging in a collaborative way with the private sector in areas that are critical to our infrastructure, financial services, energy, and so forth. And then last but not least, what the president did on day one. He called for the CTO to help build a culture of open and innovative government. And in partnership with Peter Orszag, CIO Vivek Kundra, the GSA Administrator Martha Johnson when confirmed, and all the very talented leaders that we have across, to really build a capacity inside the federal government for a culture of openness, transparency, and so forth. Very interested in that process. Those are the four pillars as we know them today, and specifics around those pillars will be shared as I go through my process.
You mentioned cybersecurity. The report from the White House was just released recently. Your role with the cyber coordinator and the CIO, Vivek Kundra, how's that all going to mesh together? You brought up R&D. That seems to be really where you're going to look at.
Yeah. I mean, clearly this is a monumental task, okay? This requires White House leadership. The president has said, I will make a personal commitment to this topic. So we know from the top this is a key priority. The president has called for in the report a collaborative led by the cyber coordinator, but to include the CIO and CTO very explicitly in the policymaking and review process. What that also means is that the CIO and the CTO will support the cyber coordinator in areas where we have immediate influence. The CIO will have a strong role to play in bringing about best practices in the nation's IT infrastructure from a federal government standpoint. And I will work to see the private sector how we might innovate in terms of new solutions. I call that game-changing R&D, but it's really about new solutions to help us address and stay on the cutting edge, but also to focus on ways in which we can collaborate. So we want to listen to the financial services industry, the energy sector, and say, how can we partner together? President made it clear that we will not control private networks. We want to collaborate to make sure they are reliable and secure. That is what I intend to do to support him and the new cyber coordinator when that person is filled.
And finally, if there was one message or a couple messages you want to get out to agencies, to vendors, what would you want them to know about you, your role, your plans, your ideas?
What I'd like them to know is that there are two traditional ways in which they interact with our federal government. They either apply for R&D grants or they participate in government procurement. I want to be the voice for their ideas in the gray area in between. I think the message here is that for vendors who have products, they might have something cooking in the oven that's not quite ready for prime time, that they should think of the federal government as a potential partner in prototyping or beta testing some of those ideas that are cooking. And we'll think through a process that will get that done in a way that is compliant with the rules and regulations that we have before us. I also want to think about those services industries who think, hey, I have a voluntary opportunity or an opportunity to do some nonprofit collaboration work. We think we can donate or contribute in a way that may not otherwise be understood in traditional government procurement rules, but we think we've got a resource that we want to make available. I want to find ways to work in that gray area. I want to be your partner, your advocate. I will measure my success on the degree to which our nation's economy is driven by innovation and the degree to which those innovation capacity is advancing the president's agenda. Very clear.
And real quick, just agencies, your message to them, because I think a lot of agencies, a lot of people saw your speech at Management of Change and were very excited, were very enthused by it. But then you're also dealing with the cynicism of people. I mean, so what do you say to agencies who are federal employees, someone else with big ideas, but does he really understand how the government works?
Well, the great news is the president asked this commitment of the cabinet agencies. So for the few in the room who represent cabinet agencies, we are going to work very closely together on developing a signature initiative that is core to the mission of the agency, but applies these open principles. And I think by demonstrating over the next year actual tangible results, I'm hoping to deliver announcements literally in weeks. I don't necessarily care about waiting months or years for results. I want to deliver results now. And we're working closely with agencies, and as we release them, I think it'll instill greater confidence that these things are possible, because you can an agency could say, hey, look, the Department of X is doing Y. Why can't we apply that here? And it is that culture change. We saw it in Virginia when I introduced a productivity investment fund. The first year we offered grants to agencies, the agency heads applied for relatively lame concepts that were basically unfunded things that the budget department said no to. And we didn't really fund a lot of those projects because we weren't there to be the second door to bad budget ideas. But after we tried to educate folks on the spirit of this, folks more junior in the organization had comfort that they could present the ideas and then have the agency head champion them. And now we have a robust portfolio of 30 projects that will calculate a 4.8-to-1 return on taxpayer investment. That happened within less than 2 years because the culture in Virginia embraced innovation. Under the governor's leadership in Virginia, it was critical, and you see that same level of leadership from President Obama. I think when you hear that message from the top, you'll feel more comfortable if we can get this figured out in terms of how you bring ideas and relevance and marry them up.